from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Our system's working. So, yes, we want to keep everybody, but we're not in that space anymore. It's time to win.
F and A, Cotton. F and A.
That'll do it for our Wednesday show. Thanks to Layla for stopping by, as always. Thanks to our guests, Mike Florio, Alex Brown, and Russell Dorsey. Thanks to Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, and Cody Westerland in the back in the Boyquarium today, helping out with all the things. And now it is Score Afternoon Fun Time Show. That's the Japanese version, I think.
I wonder if they're regretting it.
Just because the volume
of crap that everyone in our universe is giving it. I'm not anymore. I led with giving it some crap, but now I like it. Score Afternoons. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Good to see you.
Matt Spiegel.
And?
Ruthie Polinsky. Hello.
Hello, guys.
What's up, kid?
I am so pumped to be here. It's like my heart is racing right now. I'm so excited.
That'll wear off in like 7 minutes. Well,
we're excited to have you here.
Like, Thank you, Lawrence.
Not you. No one's talking to you.
What I meant is, like, I appreciated you helping me with the warm welcome for Ruthie when Bernsey was just, you know, going down the pits of despair.
I was telling her about what the text line is.
Yeah, this is what Dan does. This is what he does.
It kills joy.
But, you know, Ruthie and I are technically, at least for another month, still technically teammates.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that she is taken care of here. I don't want anyone messing with her, is basically what I'm telling you.
There you go. Well, she's already been dealt a very professional hand working with me and Shane Reardon and Chris Tannehill. Any of the listeners out there, the Scoreheads, who might be like, who's Ruthie? It's Ruthie Polinsky, who you know from football.
The football after show.
Football after
night
show.
In Chicago and anchoring on NBC5.
Thank you. See? I bring in Lawrence to do everybody's bona fides.
Thank goodness Lawrence is here. My gosh.
Yeah, I was stumbling and bumbling.
I'm here to help. Did you see the video? Did you guys see the video that we put out as NBC Sports Chicago?
It was so well done.
They did like all 20 years. So like you get to see some really cool like throwbacks, like Gail Fisher and Carrie Sayers on their Kip Lewis. Like, it's so great. Like, They went back way back.
Tell me there was some beer money and some gas money.
Yeah, some Billy Jack in there as well.
It's awesome. I DVR'd it. It was on after Sox last night.
Yeah, well.
It's going to keep airing, I think, throughout the month.
Could they do it instead of Sox? Could they just say they're going to the Sox game and put that on instead?
I think it would be higher rated.
There was a moment last night. My Sox viewing for last night consisted of less than 10 seconds. I clicked over.
And did you get the scene?
No. I got that in my feed. The
White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
Kevin Brown, so good. But no, I flipped over, saw it was 9-0. It was like, whoa, boy, all right. And then just flipped back and that was that. But then that play just dominated your Twitter feed for a good 90 minutes last night. Because that's what they are.
Oh, it was really depressing. It's gotten to the point, actually, I probably reached this point a couple of months ago where I just check to see when the game goes final, and then I turn on Chuck and Ozzie, because that's can't-miss television. Like, that is why we love the White Sox right now.
Yeah, that's what there is.
Yeah,
that's about it. it's Ozzie having existential crises in the middle of post-game
shows. Oh, he's gone way past existential crisis.
What's past that?
I think he has had existential crisis. I think he's confronted it. dealt with it, emerged from the other side somehow, and then is having a crisis of his new existence. So I don't know what happens next.
But didn't Ozzie say they might not win another game?
Yes, he did. Said that this morning on Monday.
Channeling Ditka.
And he's... it's hard to make an argument against that.
The only argument is that it's baseball. And
the variance of baseball is the only thing that would allow you... But then you look at, like, Chris Flexen, and you go... Variant should have stepped in a while ago on him, and it is not.
It's a tough baseball season in this town. Really is.
We're going through it today.
So, oh, my God. It's like the latest evening when the Cubs season died last night. I think it's the final one. I think it's going to be the final one.
It felt that way.
It felt pretty final a couple nights ago, but I knew it wasn't technically. And then last night was pretty damn grim. And then you wake up this morning or you look late last night and you realize that Kyle Schwarber went 5-for-6 with 3 homers and 15 total bases, including a 3-run game winner in the 9th.
Spiegs, I know that you guys were getting ready for your show, but I said this during the last segment. I'm hot about it, and I've been hot about it since the offseason. Matt Chapman is a 6-WAR B-WAR player for the Giants. He was right there available at a position of need for your team with an agent that you clearly have a good relationship with, and you were pounding your chest about how you beat the agent up. If you were going over the CBT, why wouldn't you have gone and just signed him too?
I don't think that it was a guarantee they were going over the CBT.
Then that's bad accounting on your part, and that makes me angry at you as well.
Did you catch Jed's non-answer yesterday morning?
I sure did.
He was upset that the Drew Smyly news got out and talked about that. Then there was a follow-up a couple questions later from Mully, and he said, no, we're going to be over. A lot of times you try to do stuff to save some money at the end of the year, but I think we're going to be over. But that's now that Smyly wasn't claimed. I think the Smyly move was an attempt at getting back under.
I think that a lot of moves that they've made have been them trying to get back under.
And there's still a chance.
And whenever I've brought that up, people have like pushed back at me. And I'm like, no, that's exactly what they're trying to do because they don't want the repeater tax next year.
Which makes sense, actually, that you try to push that down the road until you find out whether you're a contender or not. That's why these inflection points matter.
And they really haven't been. And that's why I noticed that there was a clear dichotomy and cross-purpose between the front office and the dugout. And when it got out about Drew Smyly, when the Hector Neris move was made, and we understood about just getting out of that option, that they knew they weren't going to make the playoffs. But you couldn't say it. They knew when it was, it's been a 3.9% chance, and that's what they were.
Who knew?
The front office. Okay. They knew that.
They of course didn't know, but they felt with some assurance, but council and the players have to keep doing
correct,
their thing.
Correct. So I definitely think that's not uncommon.
No. Hey, no,
so it sucks, but it's not uncommon.
It just kind of sucks.
Yeah,
and this is the way that business gets done.
Can we talk about something that doesn't suck
Please.
Real quick? Ruthie, what did you think of the end of Hard Knocks?
Let me tell you something about Hard Knocks. I had an emotional roller coaster throughout all 5 episodes. I think there were highs and lows of the storylines that we got to see throughout the course of the season. Last night, I thought, was the way it ended. We can talk about all the details within the episode, but the way that they ended it and summarized it and the back in Chicago and the cinematography, if you love football, you love the way that that show came to a close. I think that was just a perfect way of getting everyone excited, summarizing what we had learned throughout the previous 4 episodes and saying, okay, city's on your shoulders, Caleb Williams. Like, take a deep breath because we're all taking that breath with you. And I just thought it was beautiful. I thought it was emotional. I laughed. I cried. I did a lot of things in last night's episode.
Wow.
But I'm fired up, and I think that was what they were going for there.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Interesting. The first episode got me so good with just how wholesome it all felt. And that's by design. It's obviously manicured, and that's the goal and everything. But last night they tried to tie it all up like that because that's what they do. And I have not been a Hard Knocks watcher for lots of years, frankly, in terms of the totality of it. So to have the 5-episode arc... I think they're good at what they do.
Yeah, I thought the first 2 episodes were not good.
I thought the first 3 sucked. And I mean, I've watched...
I thought the first one was wonderful.
I've watched every episode totally every season going back. One. I thought the first 3 were brutal, and I thought they sort of broke what it was trying to do. And then the last 2 were redemptive in getting back some of the football stuff.
Well, Dan's issue with it is that there wasn't enough football-y football. My stuff is that it was clearly super sanitized in a way that I didn't like. I didn't like how the Jalen Johnson thing in particular, that really bothered me. Layla did a great job of like spelling it out, but like them sanitizing Jalen Johnson's quote at the podium was whack. And the reason that it was whack is because it took context away from it. He was really angry about not being in the top 100, and he's got a right to be angry. That anger should be shown. You don't even have to show full cuss. You could have done what Ruthie did on Channel 5 and shown it with the bleeps, and it would have been right. Just fine. But because they kind of McCaskied this thing up, I didn't think that they did a good job of kind of bringing some of the actual football honesty that was available to them. They scrubbed that, and that wasn't good. We disagree on episode 3. He hates Travis Bajan. I don't. I think that he's interesting.
I think Travis Bajan is a remarkable football story. Travis.
Oh, the dad.
Yeah, Travis. He hates the dad. He doesn't really hate the kid. The kid is a legit great football story.
Don't you see why Tyson Bajan is the way he is? Because of Travis. I think there's so much to be taken away from their relationship and the way that Travis parented Tyson.
Does he have a mother?
Yes.
I don't know that. I have no evidence that he has a mother, that he wasn't birthed from his father's nose like a fully armor-clad Athena from the nose of Zeus.
I feel like you're wanting a kind of completist approach and effect from a TV show that is largely not made for us knowing everything that we know.
Forget the TV show. I mean, in general. The whole Bajan thing, does he have a mother?
Well, I think that when Tyson Bajan came on the scene last year, we did the entire family. So we knew that he had a mother.
I don't think so. I think Travis Bajan just went, and Tyson just kind of came out of his nose, and there he was.
So yeah, this is what I deal with. But
oh, my goodness.
But what I did like, and we were talking about it earlier, and I got some peeps on this, that edit of Caleb Williams.
Yeah, that's the stuff. Yeah.
Was magnificent.
Yeah. That's the gold that you were waiting for the entire time. And they finally gave it to you.
Right.
There in the last episode.
With something mundane too. Like the spectacular doesn't need that. Where the throw to Rome Odunze that we've seen from a million different angles and we get the spinning, spiraling NFL film shot. But that was very mundane and it made it seem you do what you're supposed to do, use the weapons you have, stay in rhythm, and that's all it was. But when you just saw it morphing from one to the next, it was so cool.
Yeah. And I think it was a beautiful way of kind of recapping, because in that first episode, we saw Caleb struggling. And then at the end, you're kind of seeing all of the improvement. He's ready. Let's go.
Filmmaking part of it, too.
Yeah.
I wonder, I bet Spiegs has probably seen that movie, right, Dan? I'm guessing. Remember, all right, here, I'll tell you. So I asked a friend of mine who does editing. I was like, can you walk me through that?
Where every time they go back to the pocket, he's there again in the pocket.
Can you walk me through that? And this is what this person said. I said, man, that thing was so awesome. What was that? And this person said, seamless edit created by using whip pan or switch pan as the transition point. Three different plays edited together in the spot where the camera is coming back to the quarterback. Edit hidden in the movement. The best example of this is the movie Birdman.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's a beautiful and interesting bit of cinematography, that whole movie. So that makes me want to go back and
yes.
check it out. Yeah.
Yes, and like as I'm sitting there, I was geeking out.
Yeah.
Like I'm just going, this is beautiful.
And it took you a second to kind of figure out what was going on, right? Like you're following, and then you're like, oh my God. And then you're like, oh, that's him again, you know? And
well, because
I just loved it.
That center camera position is locked, so they know they're always going to go back to that spot. But you as the viewer, it doesn't register that way.
Right.
You're just seeing a pan that then stops and he's there in the middle. Maybe the next one goes left and you're like, how did they do that?
It was just a really beautiful piece of like filmmaking that we got. And if you're looking for like the thing that Ruthie's talking about where you walk away from this thing with like your hype meter on 100, I think that for me, that's the moment where I go, oh, bleep.
Yeah.
Ready.
Here we
go. Let's go kick it off.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get to the end of it.
Did you see your Kevin Warren star turn? Did you like it?
But it wasn't him waking up, though.
It wasn't the full thing. It was a morning routine, though.
It was everything else.
It was a morning routine. There was, you got to do it like George did it.
I'm honestly
Except
shocked.
Except less racist.
Yeah, like Papa Bear did it. Yeah,
I'm honestly shocked that Dan didn't come here and make that the focus of our show today.
Didn't give me
the
enough.
Kevin Warren segment.
No,
yes,
I need him rising out of it without an alarm clock.
The only thing it didn't have was Kevin Warren waking up. It had everything else that we had talked about.
It had
about.
The statues.
Didn't have the Bible. Didn't have the Bible.
It's implied.
The car wash was implied. I thought the car wash.
That's true. It's very important.
See, Ruthie knows stuff. But it's the,
she does.
She's probably been in that car wash. So it's the whole thing about like, you know, that was a gift to Kevin Warren, though, wasn't it? That was like George saying, okay, all right.
Give Kevin his.
Well, they gave him one earlier, too. Where it was like, you know what we should have in these suites?
Mm-hmm.
Chairs.
Ah, yes, chairs. I second that.
But if we're good, people won't be sitting.
They'll be standing and cheering.
And I mean, I didn't know about the chandelier. I dig the chandelier.
That's really cool.
Where every pole coming down from the chandelier represents different seasons, different color codes, and different bottoms to signify how far they went in each season. That's a well-designed chandelier. Makes me want to swing from it.
The other thing that I found amazing is
the
Matt Eberflus compound. The piece of land on which he lives.
Let me just say, I
kept expecting Ina Garten and her adorable husband Jeffrey to pop out somewhere in the back. Like, oh, what are you doing here, Ina Garten? Oh, well, I just have a caprese salad. I happen to have, and TR is bringing flowers. So come on out. We've got some rose hip tea that I just happened to whip up. It's like, wow,
you know what it reminded me of? Like, now that we've discussed it a little bit, and that it reminded me of Sacha Baron Cohen's character in
Ricky Bobby.
In Ricky Bobby, when he has him at the house.
Yes. Talladega Nights.
That's what Eberflus's place like looks like. It's a place where you want to go and hang.
It's one of those mock Tudor mansions
up
there that you drive by every once in a while, and you're like, that's too much house.
I was getting sort of like Snow White vibes, you know, like singing to the animals, and a deer just emerges and says, hello.
Hi. A bird just happens to land on your hand. Like, hello, Ruthie. Welcome to Matt Eberflus's house.
Yeah, 5,000 bees buzz by and go, Flus.
Oh, I loved how Flus was swatting the bees away. That was great.
I thought that was kind of dangerous.
No, he said that one just kind of buzzed the tower there. Right? But I wanted him in the beekeeper suit.
Oh,
like, fake it. Come on, Matt. Get the smoker can. Get over there and, you know, lift up the honey thing.
If Mrs. Eberflus says it's okay is my vibe on that, but that's just a vibe.
I mean, that's a good rule of life.
That's not incorrect. They are right. Lawrence Holmes and Dan Bernstein. That's them. Ruthie, what do you think? Right?
Love you guys.
Right?
Nah. I do.
Yeah.
I do listen a lot all day, every day. You guys are when I'm going to work usually. Like the midday is when I'm heading downtown and I listen to you guys a lot.
Well, we thank you for your support. And I'm really excited about you hosting a show here.
I'm so grateful to be here. It's very, very cool.
Have fun.
Thanks, guys.
Not just any show. Score Afternoons.
It's very important that you know, the branding.
Speaks and Ruthie Polinsky this afternoon. Dave Wanstead, her colleague and teammate for a little while more, will join us at 5 o'clock in studio. Mark Grody with a Bears report and a wide collection of tape from up there at Halas Hall. We will talk about the complicated relationships within the Bears decision makers, as it was revealed a little bit last night. And you'll hear from the Floos, you'll hear from Caleb. Next, though, two huge reasons why I, the man once elected president of baseball, absolutely love the NFL. We'll start there. Spiegs and Ruthie on 670 The Score.
And this segment is sponsored by Climate Guard Windows.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.